In the Penal Colony by Franz Kafka. "It's a singular apparatus," the officer said to the explorer, running his somewhat admiring eyes over the apparatus with which he was, after all, familiar. The traveler seemed to have accepted the invitation purely out of courtesy. The commander had asked him to attend the execution of a soldier who had been condemned to death for insubordination and for insulting his superior. There probably wasn't all that much interest in this execution, even within the penal colony. At least, here in this deep sandy valley, which was closed in by naked slopes on all sides, the only people present, aside from the officer and the traveler, were the condemned man, an obtuse person with a broad mouth and seedy hair and face, and a soldier clutching the heavy shackle with the small, interconnected chains that fettered the condemned man's ankles, wrists, and neck. At any rate, the condemned man looked so dog-like and cringing that they could, no doubt, have let him run free over the slopes and would have needed only to whistle for him to come at the beginning of the execution. The traveler had little interest in the apparatus and was almost visibly unconcerned as he walked up and down behind the condemned man, while the officer took care of the final adjustments, crawling underneath the apparatus, which was inserted deep in the ground, or scaling a ladder to examine the upper parts. These were chores that could have actually been left to a mechanic, but the officer performed them with great zeal, either because he was a strong supporter of this apparatus, or because there were other reasons why the job could not have been entrusted to anyone else. "It's all set," he finally called, and climbed down the ladder. He was extremely worn out, breathed with his mouth wide open, and had two delicate ladies' handkerchiefs tucked behind his uniform collar. "These uniforms must be far too heavy for the tropics," the traveler said, instead of inquiring about the apparatus, as the officer had expected. "True enough," said the officer, washing his greasy, oily hands in a pail of water that stood ready. "But they represent our homeland, and we do not want to lose our homeland." "But now, look at this apparatus," he promptly added, drying his hands with a towel while simultaneously motioning toward the apparatus. "Up to this point, it requires manual labor, but from now on, the apparatus works automatically." The traveler nodded and followed him. The officer, seeking to protect himself against all contingencies, then said, "Naturally, malfunctions do occur, but while I hope we won't have any today, they must be reckoned with. After all, the apparatus has to keep working uninterruptedly for 12 hours. If malfunctions do occur, however, they're very minor and they can be dealt with immediately." "Won't you sit down?" he finally asked, pulling out a cane chair from a whole pile of them and offering it to the traveler. The latter could not refuse. He now sat at the edge of a pit, into which he fleetingly glanced. It wasn't very deep. On one side of the pit, the excavated soil was heaped up into an embankment. On the other side stood the apparatus. "I don't know," said the officer, "whether the commander has already filled you in about the apparatus." The traveler gestured vaguely. The officer could ask for nothing better, since now he could explain the apparatus himself. "This apparatus," he said, grasping a crank handle leaning against it, "was invented by our former commander. I assisted in the very first tests, and I was involved in all the work until it was perfected. However, he alone deserves the credit for the invention. Have you heard about our former commander? No? Well, I'm not exaggerating when I say that the entire setup of the penal colony is his achievement. By the time he died, we, his friends, already knew that the colony, as he had organized it, was so self-contained that it would take his successor many years to change anything, even if he had 1,000 plans in mind. And our prediction was correct. The new officer was forced to realize it." "Too bad you never met the old commander. But," the officer interrupted himself, "I'm rattling on, and his apparatus is standing here in front of us. It consists, as you can see, of three parts. Over the years, a popular nickname was developed for each of these parts. The lower part is called the bed, the upper one, the draftsman, and the middle one floating here is called the harrow." "The harrow?" asked the traveler. He hadn't been listening very closely. The sun was entangled all too deep.